The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Oh my gosh. Welcome to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. Happy Monday, everyone. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I had a busy weekend. I worked the whole weekend.
Oh, yeah. You were at the conference up in Allen, right?
I was at the Weston A. Price Foundation Conference. It was amazing. I'm getting ready to introduce Mary Holland here. I got to meet her face to face. It was just amazing. And I slept really well, too, last night. So I feel amazing. I do. And let me introduce Mary Holland right out of the gate. We've got so much to cover today. We do. So Mary Holland serves as president and general counsel of Children's Health Defense. She left the faculty of New York University School of Law, where she served for 17 years, most recently directing its graduate lawyering program. Mary received her Master of Arts and Juris Doctor degrees from Columbia University and her undergraduate degree from Harvard. She has worked in international public and private law, and she is the co-author of Vaccine Epidemic and the HPV Vaccine on Trial, Seeking Justice for a Generation Betrayed. Their website is childrenshealthdefense.org. Mary, so great to have you on the air with us this morning.
Thank you so much. I was in your territory over the weekend. It was pretty great.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for saying that. And it was so great to see you face to face. It was. But before,
likewise. I'm sorry it wasn't longer, but
that's okay.
This conference was really special, right?
It was
1,000 people in the Weston A. Price Foundation annual meeting held in Allen, Texas, right outside of Dallas. And, you know, there's just nothing like getting people together, Bernadette. There's just nothing like it. You know, a Zoom call, a video conference, a telephone conference, it just doesn't cut it. There's something so electric and so energetic about bringing aligned people together to learn and then to figure out the next step. So I come back really energized and excited. And I met a lot of people from Texas and the Dallas area there. So that was great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it was great. It was, the whole thing was really great. And there is an energy in the, almost like a renewed energy, because this fight is large. It's intense. I mean, it's a big fight that we're fighting here for our medical freedom. And, you know, one of the things that when you were speaking that really stuck with me is you spoke about a world of surveillance. Can you share with our listeners what you said about surveillance at the Weston A. Price Conference this weekend?
Sure. We focus a lot on the toxic exposures of the chemicals and the injected chemicals, the vaccines, but the surveillance of the 5G network that's being established and the 6G, the sixth generation that's already in the works, this is really going to create a network like already exists in China, which is a social scoring network where you're going to have, you know, biometric identification to do anything, right? Facial recognition, thumbprints, iris scans, so that your identity is known and everything you do, every transaction, commercial transaction you do, every place you go, all of that is going to be part of this metaverse. It's going to be part of this digital information world. And basically the idea of these vaccine passports, which are now already being rolled out in parts of this country aggressively, they're not going to stop at vaccine records. They're going to have criminal records. They're going to have property records. They're going to have employment records. And basically there will be no such thing, even beyond where we are now, Bernadette, there will be absolutely no such thing as privacy. There will be 24/7 surveillance of the globe, and there will be digital central bank currencies coupled with our medical records, our vaccine passports, which will be monitoring us 24/7. That's the dream of these billionaire trillionaires who really are looking for those profits, these new markets, the internet of bodies and natural resources, and who are looking for this kind of basically turning us, normal people into a kind of surf class. Mm-hmm. That really, and a lot of different people from a lot of different perspectives talked about that at the conference, Bernadette. And, you know, it's like the elephant, right? Somebody's at the trunk, somebody's at the tail, somebody's at the leg, and we're all trying to figure this out. But I think we all do recognize that there's all these different pieces that really do fit together of, like, that's where the trillionaires want to move us, who are in the World Economic Forum and in those kinds of organizations, the global kind of organizations. Well, even the UN Sustainable Development Goals for 2030 articulate that they want each human on the planet to have a digital ID. And that is largely, they say, there's some benefits to that. There are, you know, you keep track of your tax records and that kind of thing, medical records. That, there could be an upside to that, mm-hmm. but the downside is obviously a kind of potential totalitarian control.
Right.
One of the things I showed people in short video clips, Bernadette, is that the biggest sort of trillionaire on the planet, the guy Larry Fink, who runs BlackRock, which is trillions of dollars under management, he talked about wanting totalitarian markets. Right?
Yeah,
the U.S.
Yeah.
is too messy. We want, I mean, and that's just an oxymoron. A market is not totalitarian. And I showed also a short clip of this guy who's the head of the Bank of International Settlements, which is sort of like the monetary policy for the world. And he literally talked about, we're not only going to be able to have digital central bank currencies so we know where every transaction is happening, but if people don't obey the rules, we'll just turn them off.
Yeah.
You know, that's out there now. And
Scary.
Most people, myself included, don't know about that.
Yeah, well, that's why it stuck with me. I was like, oh, my gosh, you know, when you speak on this, I mean, and people are out there listening, they have to be shaking their heads. They have to be questioning what's really going on here. And like I said, we need to fight this. Privacy, our
oh,
freedom,
man.
Our medical freedom, those are all big things. Those are what
make that. Things. Big,
those
big,
are
big things, Bernadette. If you don't, you know, it's funny. I think I've told you that I lived in the Soviet Union as a child for a year, and I went back in my 20s. I studied there. I speak Russian. I went and I worked as a lawyer in Russia. And when I first started working there as a lawyer talking about human rights, people would tell me, you know, Mary, there's no word in Russian for privacy. Now, of course, they didn't have 5G and they didn't have vaccine passports. But people knew that the KGB was watching, that there were people who had their eyes. There were people who were, you know, spies within every institution in society. They didn't have a word for privacy. And that's where we are moving now, Bernadette.
Wow.
We will have no privacy if all this goes forward.
Well, and that should scare the bejesus out of everyone out there listening. And this is why you fight so hard. This is why I fight so hard. So many people at the conference are fighting so hard because, you know, those precious freedoms are eroding. They are. I mean, I was reading this morning that even Dr. Mercola had to file a lawsuit. He didn't have to. He did. I'm sure you're well aware of it because
I am.
I'm sure you're part of it. Tell our listeners about it. What's going on with that?
So it's exciting. So one of the things that we've been fighting for quite some time, Bernie, debt is that the government is using social media to censor us, and that violates the First Amendment. The government can't ask somebody else to do its dirty work. It can't make Facebook or Amazon its agent to censor people. And so Mercola and others filed a lawsuit today against Amazon. Well, no, I'm sorry, against Liz Warren, Senator Elizabeth Warren, for asking Amazon to censor a book by Joseph Mercola and Ronnie Cummins about COVID-19. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. had a preface for that book. The senator, who's a Democrat, who allegedly believes in freedom of ideas, she has asked Amazon to take that book, which has already sold more than 250,000 copies. So it's obviously not a terrible book.
Yeah.
She's asked them to take it off. It's a great book. It's an excellent book about the real truth behind COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that any senator is asking for social media platforms to censor information that is well documented is shocking.
It is shocking.
We have a lawsuit against Facebook for the same thing. The CDC explicitly, the WHO explicitly, the Biden administration, they asked Facebook, censor Bobby Kennedy, censor Children's Health Defense. And they do.
Yeah.
And they do. Well, so our argument is that is a violation, among other things, that's a violation of the First Amendment, which guarantees the freedom of speech and the freedom of the press.
Well,
and if you take those things away, I'm sorry, Bernadette, but if you take those things, as Bobby Kennedy says, if you take those things away, freedom of expression and freedom of the press, it's all over.
Right.
If you can suppress dissent and you don't have any competing ideas, mm-hmm. you literally can brainwash people and put the people who would disagree with you in fear.
Well, you know what? I may have to file a lawsuit against YouTube because they took down all my content that regarded shows that we did on vaccines from even 3 and 4 years ago with Dr. Gabriel Cousins and Neil Miller, Dr. Miller. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what? And for misinformation or disinformation, what's the difference between dis and misinformation, by the way?
They both violate the government narrative. Okay.
Okay.
There's no difference. I mean, you know, the what they call misinformation, Bernadette, is what I call the truth. Let's be clear.
Absolutely. But aren't they violating our First Amendment rights? I mean,
100%. 100. Well, no. Let me. This is very important distinction, Bernadette. So, can Facebook on its own decide that they don't want certain people on their platform? Yes, it's a private company. They don't have to allow everybody on. That's the law as it is today. Some people say, well, it shouldn't be like that. It should be a public forum. It should be. It's the new soapbox in the square. They should be required to let everybody on unless it's illegal. That's not the law today. They're private corporations and they get to decide. What we argue is what's illegal is that Facebook has been asked by Dr. Fauci, by President Biden, by attorney generals, by senators to censor people like Bobby Kennedy and Children's mm-hmm. Health Defense.
Yeah.
That's illegal because the government can't do that. That's what the First Amendment to the Constitution says. And states, remember, the colonies wouldn't ratify the Constitution without that Bill of Rights. And initially, those first 10 amendments were only against the federal government. But over time, they expanded because those rights are so fundamental. So states mm-hmm. have to adhere to them, too.
Yeah.
You can't have a democracy without freedom of expression and freedom of the press. You can't have it. And that's what we're up against. And I know one of the things we want to talk about is Bobby Kennedy's book,
yes.
The Real Anthony Fauci.
Yeah.
He says, you know, it's a war on democracy and public health. And our health is directly connected to our ability to speak about our health. They're not just censoring any information. They're censoring information about saving people's lives.
Absolutely.
They're censoring information about our lives, about our health. So, you know, this is a war, and we're at a very crucial period in time. And I felt like bringing 1,100 people who are aligned around these issues together, I just can't begin to say how energizing that was. We do need to keep, we need, you know, freedom of assembly is also right there in the First Amendment. And like, it's so powerful to assemble people. And, you know, one of the things that we're hoping that people will do and asking people to do this week is to come together. We have mm-hmm. World Walkout Week. We're continuing on walkouts to say we can't have business as usual when there's this kind of onslaught against people and taking away their fundamental liberties. We just can't do that. And so we're urging people to walk out again this week.
Well, we're going to be talking about it. We're going to go for our quick break. Stay tuned, everyone. More coming up with Mary Holland and the Children's Health Defense, the most read news of the week recap. We'll be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Want to advertise on One Life Radio? Send us an email, info@oneliferadio.com.
Children's Health Defense, led by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., is devoted to the health of all people and the planet. Their team fights tirelessly against the public health policies, practices, and mandates that are harming our health and threatening our medical freedoms. Children's Health Defense steps in where others fear to tread. Visit childrenshealthdefense.org and tune in every Monday for health freedom news and views with the president of Children's Health Defense, Mary Holland.
10 years of positivity on your radio. This is One Life Radio.
Everyone, we're back. Welcome to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix and Mary Holland. We are continuing our broadcast live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. Mary, I have to ask you a question before we continue. Can you stay a little later? After, can
sure.
you stay? You can. Okay,
yeah.
Great. All right. I wanted to know that before we continue. Okay. All right. So, you know, like you said, we have a few more days until Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s much-awaited book is released, The Real Anthony Fauci. What do you think will shock the American people the most about the book?
I think there are two things that are going to be most shocking. One are the truly gruesome, unethical experiments that were done on children in the foster care system with funding from NIAID that Tony Fauci was the head of during the 80s and 90s and even into early 2000. You'll learn about a mass grave for 80 children who were in foster care. These were black and brown children, and they were essentially human guinea pigs for different AIDS drugs, very, very toxic drugs. It's not clear that all the kids had HIV or AIDS, but they were from poor families, and they were in a Catholic charity foster home in the Bronx. And that will shock people. It shocked me.
Yeah.
The other thing that's shocking, I think, to most people is that it sort of towards the end of the book, Bobby explains that for about 20 years, since before 9/11, the powers that be, the billionaire club and the U.S. government and governments around the world have been engaged in pandemic preparedness exercises. So in other words, you know, there were a lot of people in sort of the governments and public health establishments and corporate leaders who were very quote unquote well prepared for the COVID pandemic.
Yeah.
And they weren't prepared to tell people to take vitamin D and vitamin C and get exercise and get good sleep and you know, don't be afraid. They were being prepared to militarize the response to a public health problem. And one of the things that Bobby points out is that the intelligence agencies, the CIA in particular, is clearly deeply engaged in these pandemic preparedness exercises.
Wow.
And as he says, his family history is a 60-year fistfight with the CIA. So it's very, that's shocking that, you know, that our government on some level has been paying our money to prepare for a response to a pandemic that would destroy democracy.
Mm. Oh my gosh, I can't wait to get it. What's the release date? I pre-ordered it 16th, on Amazon.
16th, a week from tomorrow.
A
week
from
tomorrow, and you'll get it. And there's a really cute video on the Defender in the weekly roundup, but you can look at it, and it's a little video of, like, you know, people starting to read the book, and it is a page-turner. It really is. It's, you know, most people just can't imagine what has been the real Anthony Fauci or the real public health establishment for the last 40 years in the United States.
Yeah, the people need to take back control of this country.
We do. I mean,
we the people
need to take back control. We've left it, you know, and we've gotten some benefits from that. You know, we sort of could do other things, Bernadette. We sort of left it to the expert. We left it to the politicians. But it is time for this grassroots uprising of no. We decide what our kids learn. We decide what goes in our bodies. We decide, you know, what the limits of our privacy are. It's not a group of people over in Geneva or Davos or wherever, or Washington, D.C., for that matter. It's grassroots democracy. That's what this country is based on. And we're going to have to revive that if we're going to make it through this.
Absolutely. You know, my mind's in 100 different places right now trying to focus here. Okay, so one of the top stories in The Defender was that there were 3 more reports of teen deaths just this past week after COVID vaccines, as reported injuries exceed 850,000 people injured.
Bernadette, you know, I have no words, really. I mean, I'm looking at this article, so as we often say, I really encourage people to sign up for The Defender. It's free at the Children's Health Defense website. And every Friday, we publish the public information from the U.S. Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. And so this week, they looked at the data for 12 to 17-year-olds. And, you know, there's a 12-year-old girl from South Carolina who had blood hemorrhaging 22 days after she got the shot, a 13-year-old in Maryland who died 15 days after getting her first dose of the Pfizer shot, a 17-year-old girl in Texas who experienced hyperglycemic crisis 33 days after the vaccination. another 12-year-old who died from respiratory hemorrhaging. I mean, it's sickening, wow. Bernadette.
It is sickening.
It's just sickening. And as you know, the FDA just authorized this product for 5 to 11-year-olds, and the CDC just recommended it. And as of today, November 8th, there are clinics being installed in schools around the country.
Wow.
And in New York City, they're giving $100 debit cards to children and their families sign up to get these things.
Wow.
It's coercion. Just unconscionable. It's just unconscionable. It's such a clear violation of the Nuremberg Code, which was put in place by U.S. judges for Nazi medical atrocities. No coercion is acceptable for an experimental medical product. These are experimental medical products. It is such an assault on the rule of law, Bernadette.
It is
truly, truly shocking to me as an attorney and a citizen. It's just shocking what's happening.
Yeah, it is shocking. And we all need to stand up. We all need to do something about it. We all need to stop this. I mean, there's so much, like I said, and you too, I'm sure, after seeing, Del Bigtree spoke at the closing ceremonies yesterday at the Weston A. Price Foundation conference here in Allen, Texas, that was over the weekend with Sally Fallon Morrell. And the stuff that he said, and it's true, it's all truth, but it's just astounding that more people are not standing up and saying, no, we have to stop this. But you know, they're being manipulated. A lot of people can't afford to quit their jobs, Mary. They can't. They're forced.
Of course not. And people are being brainwashed. And so
yes.
Bobby Kennedy gave an address on Saturday evening, and everybody was asking, what do we do to wake people up? What do we do? What do we tell our brothers and our sisters and our parents? And what Bobby said I thought was really important is you can't just give them another paper. You can't just give them facts because it's a dogma. They believe in the religious dogma that vaccines are safe and effective and they save lives. It's a dogma.
It is.
And so the only way that we can reach those people, and we have to try, is by asking them questions. It's the Socratic method. Why do you think that this mandate is so important? How do you think you're protected? What makes you think it's safe? Do you know that the VAERS system has 850,000 reported injuries on it? What do you think is accounting for that? We have to let them sow the doubt in their own minds. We can't do that for them. We can't give them information just as like, here are the facts and like get with the program, because they will absolutely deny it and push us out. What our job is with people who are still in the dark is to ask them questions that will elicit their doubts inside themselves, and then they will go look up the information and they will start to say, you know, it doesn't make sense. They're lying to us.
Right, right. Well, you know, in The Defender, one of the top stories, too, people are speaking out because it's this story. It says top news also include that vaccine injured are speaking out. They feel abandoned by the government, who told them that the COVID shot was safe.
So kudos to Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, who held a briefing last Monday in Washington, D.C., in the Kennedy office room, in the briefing room, and then they held a demonstration in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. And these were many different individuals who had been injured or people speaking on behalf of those who died. And this is an old story, Bernadette, but in COVID, it's so common that these people just, in a really eloquent way, they just explain not only the tragedy of their injuries, but that the U.S. government is absolutely aware of this, and they're doing nothing, and they're suppressing this information. These people have all kinds of documents of how they've been in touch with Janet Woodcock at the FDA and been in touch with Walensky at the CDC and been in touch with Tony Fauci's people at the NIAID, and they just don't, they don't help them. There's no help for these people. They say, oh, that's very interesting. You should consult with your doctor. You know, it's outrageous. Right?
It is outrageous.
You know, we have a Veterans Administration for people who have been injured in war or who die. We have benefits for them. And yet in this war on infectious disease, it has gone on now for decades with no provision for the casualties. And that's got to stop, Bernadette. It's just got to stop.
Absolutely. We're going to go for a quick break. Station identification. We'll be right back with Mary Holland. She is the president of the Children's Health Defense. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Want to advertise on One Life Radio? send us an email, info@onelifradio.com.
Hey everyone, I've got some fabulous news. Castor and Pollux, a brand that I've used for years, has joined us as our official pet sponsor of One Life Radio. Castor and Pollux is the maker of America's number one organic pet food. Their Organics line of recipes is the only complete line of USDA organically certified pet food. And their pristine recipes are made with responsibly sourced ingredients such as wild-caught salmon and grass-fed beef. Castor and Pollux is the most comprehensive portfolio of purposeful pet food, setting the new standard in pet nutrition. Shop and order online at CastorPollux.com. That's CastorPollux.com. Or find it at Whole Foods, Natural Grocers, Sprouts, or Central Market.
A decade of educating and learning. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Everyone, welcome back to One Life Radio. Excuse me. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix and Mary Holland. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. If you're just now joining us, Mary Holland serves as president and general counsel of the Children's Health Defense. We are going over the most read news of the week recap with Mary and the Children's Health Defense. Okay, so Mary, we've got a lot to cover here in a short time. So can you tell us about the 17 pharma henchmen who voted to experiment on our kids and how we can shun them?
Yes. So that's a reference to the physicians and scientists who were on the FDA expert committee, allegedly sort of a disinterested committee, who met 2 weeks ago to authorize the Pfizer COVID shot for children aged 5 to 11. And this article in The Defender, one of the best of the week, most read of the week, does a deep dive, Bernadette, on their conflicts of interest. And it's just shocking. I mean, some of these people have taken hundreds of thousands of dollars from Pfizer or from other big pharma companies. They all have worked, you know, in places where they get grants from the institutions, from NIAID. 11 of these people were temporary members of this, it's called the VRBPAC committee, the Vaccines and Biologics Committee. You know, there was no suspense that this was going to happen. Bernadette, the government had already bought 65 million doses of this to give to the 28 million children in this age range in the country. It's a farce. It was a farce. And so the conclusion of the article is we have to do what we do know really does influence people. We have to show those people that we are appalled by this kind of behavior, that it's unacceptable. And so it identifies them by name and their institutions. And, you know, it's just like war criminals, or it's like criminals. You have to show that you disapprove of this behavior, these conflicts of interest, these people who really, they're just completely looking the other way.
Right.
Yet, you know, we know that these vaccines in the, you know, the teenagers, we know it's causing heart attacks. And yet, and we know that the younger the person, the higher the risk of heart attack. That's very, very clear from the data. And they're authorizing this shot for these young children, knowing that there's likely a higher risk of heart attacks for these young children than for the older children or for older adults. And they don't have any data on that. And they're saying, well, we're just going to get the data after we roll it out. I mean, I don't know how you do that and sleep at night. I don't know how you do that and sleep at night. But these people apparently can, and we need to show them that we don't think that's okay.
And make a ton of money with no liability. And that's another one of the, excuse me, most read top stories in the Defender newsletter, which you can sign up for free, by the way. Everyone out there listening, go to thechildrenshealthdefense.org and sign up for the Defender, and you'll be able to read all these stories. The top-selling drug in the world, Pfizer COVID vaccine, 2021 sales, on track to hit $36 billion. And I remind everyone, with zero liability for any injury or death that they cause.
I mean, that's the reality, Bernadette. That's the reality. You know, there have been, I think, two adjudicated cases through this tribunal. You can't get to a jury trial. Congress gave pharma that gift. And, you know, this whole Pfizer thing wouldn't be possible without the government promotion and without the authorization and without the threat of the mandates, nothing of this would have been possible. And the notion that these profits go to private corporation with such a long rap sheet. These mm-hmm. people have done so many things that were illegal in their decades-long history that taxpayers aren't reaping. You know, I don't agree with any medical mandates, but the notion that these should be private profits mm-hmm. is extraordinary. It's yeah. just extraordinary. All of this is mind-boggling.
Well, here's what's extraordinary as well. This is the next top story on The Defender, is that that the pharma giant spends more on ads, and we're talking about Pfizer. They spend more on ads and new sponsorships than on research.
Right. So they always love to tell us that the reason that drugs in the United States are so expensive is because there's so much research and development. You know, mm-hmm. it's so difficult. And it's just garbage. I mean, you just look at their finances, and that's just not where they spend the money. They spend the money on direct-to-consumer advertising, Bernadette. And we know that the U.S. is the only sizable country in the world that allows direct-to-consumer advertising of prescription medications, including vaccines. And right. I don't know if you know this, Pfizer has just come out with an appalling ad for TV directed at children, showing that children in the clinical trials for Pfizer are the heroes. They're the superheroes, and you should be like those children.
They're
advertising directly to 5 to 11-year-olds.
Oh, my gosh.
This is how far we as a country have stooped.
Have
I mean,
slipped.
This is just outrageous behavior, and this is probably one of the richest companies in the United States, and this is okay.
Wow. Well, I didn't see that ad because I don't have my television on unless it's a good
football
game.
Well, that's a good thing.
No, I know, right? I know. It's saved my sanity. So many people out there spend too many hours watching television, letting their health just, you know, slip out of their hands and believing everything that they're sold and told by mainstream media. It's maddening to watch. It really is, because like you, I really care about children. I really care about animals. I don't want to see people suffer and live in poverty and be hurt by these big corporations, right. and yet they just continue, you know?
Right.
So one of the stories on The Defender was that prominent scientists go public that Fauci fooled America, quote unquote. How did he fool us, Mary? And is the story in Robert F. Kennedy's new book being released in just 8 days?
Well, that story is definitely in Bobby Kennedy's book. That's the whole essence of the book, is like, you guys think that he's this, you know, kind, avuncular, you know, mm-hmm. sort of your best uncle, and he's got our interests at heart, and, you know, he really knows what he's talking about. And the book says, you know, that's sort of that's the veneer. But underneath that, what he's been doing is being a drug incubator. But this article that they're referencing, it's really an important article. It's an op-ed. It's an editorial by Jay Bhattacharya, a physician and PhD, and Martin Kulldorff, also a PhD on the faculty at Harvard. Bhattacharya is on the faculty at Stanford. And they published an article in Newsweek, very mainstream journal, right?
Uh-huh.
Basically saying that everything that Tony Fauci has stood for the lockdowns, for the firing the healthcare workers now, for the masks, for the for the vaccines, all of it has had devastating effects and has just not been well researched at all. Mm-hmm. And when you have people of that level of prominence, and both these people had signed the Great Barrington Declaration, when they have an editorial in Newsweek, Bernadette, I do think that Tony Fauci's really in trouble. When you have Newsweek and Forbes doing what in essence are pretty much very severe criticism, I think that, you know, Fauci is now a liability to the administration. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's very noticeable when you have Newsweek publishing an article like that.
Absolutely. And when you have in my personal world, a very dear friend of mine who is a wonderful person, extreme left. Okay, and she's moved to the middle. So, you know, people are waking up that's why I shared that story, because people are waking up. They see how criminal this is. They see the fraud. They see the greed. It's outright greed. They don't care who they hurt as long as they keep this agenda moving until they, you know, put it in the end
right.
zone. right?
Well, listen, I mean, there really are important analogies that people have to start thinking about, that we're moving towards a new form of bondage. We're moving towards a new form of slavery. And in slavery, you know, the owner only cares that the asset is productive. They don't care that the asset is, you know, happy or has a human life or has dignity. They care that the asset is making money for them. That's the essence of slavery, and that is the model that we're moving towards with these new agendas.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. So good to talk to you on the air today, it is, and get all this information out. I wish we could talk for hours, but we got to go to break. We never did get to a couple of things that I feel are really important. So everyone, please go to thechildrenshealthdefense.org and sign up for The Defender and read some of the stuff that we didn't get to. Like the authors of Great Barrington Declaration got it right. Lockdowns were a disaster for young people and so on, right? Mary, there's so much to write about.
It's a great publication. Even if you only read it sort of on the weekend, the most read articles, it really will help you understand what's really going on.
Absolutely. So great to see you face to face and meet you. And thank you for all that you do. Seriously, everyone needs to be thanking people like you that are leaders, brave leaders out there helping us in this fight. So you have a great week.
To you and all your listeners.
Thank you so much. All right, everyone. Oh my gosh, it was so great to be at that conference, you guys. It was off the charts. It was so amazing. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back. We've got Autumn Connolly coming up. We're going to be talking about Bofu Alavarius Medicine. This ancient remedy may be able to help you. We'll talk about it. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Want to advertise on One Life Radio? Send us an email, info@oneliferadio.com.
We have an exciting announcement to make. Jared Ramirez, our on-air microbiome expert, and his team at Enviromedica took home the 2021 Nexti Award for Best New Product Supporting a Healthy Microbiome. The Nexti Awards recognize the most progressive, innovative, inspiring, and trustworthy products in the natural products industry. We've always known about their TerraFlora Deep Immune Symbiotic. It provides broad-spectrum gut health support while strengthening the body's adaptive response to immune challenges. It is a completely elevated gut immune system support product, a perfect welcome addition to your supplement routine. Visit Enviromedica.com to learn more and order your TerraFlora Deep Immune Symbiotic. Congratulations, Enviromedica.
Celebrating 10 years on the air. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Oh my gosh, everyone. Great song, Junior. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix and Autumn Connolly. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia at KMET in Southern California. Autumn, how you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you today?
I'm good. We went a little long on the first guest, and so, you know, you got cut off a little bit. We might not be able to get to all this information, but I do want to continue this talk the next time you're on, whatever we don't get to. The topic with Autumn Connolly today is the Bofu Alavirus Medicine. Could this be an ancient remedy to help you? So Autumn Connolly lives in the Sky Islands of Arizona with her four kiddos and her animal babies. She is the creator of Anvil Traditional Healing, a company dedicated to restoring gut microbiome health through diet. And Autumn is also a self-taught vegan chef, a cereal gardener, and an avid believer in and teacher of the healing powers of meditation. You can reach her at meditatewithautumn@gmail.com or her website, anviltraditionalhealing.com. That's anviltraditionalhealing.com. Okay, so Autumn, let's talk about this. What is Bofu or Bofu? How do you pronounce it, first of all?
Bofu.
Oh, Bofu. Okay.
Yeah, so it's interesting. It's a, you know, it's a psychedelic, essentially, but it's, you know, similar to like an LSD or ayahuasca or any of the, you know, popular ones that people may have heard of. But it's typically done in a ceremonial way. The idea being that it's going to connect you to your higher self. And what I like about it is that for people who aren't quite willing or able to commit to the intensity of something like an ayahuasca ceremony for that spiritual connection, it's a very short experience, only 15-20 minutes, really. And it just allows you to go deeper within your higher self without, you know, scheduling a retreat to Peru for a week.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, you said the word spiritual, and, you know, so I've talked about a lot of people about this with the ayahuasca, because Sean Wells went to Peru, and that's what you're alluding to. He went for a week, and he did ayahuasca, I don't know, slowly. I think he started out with a small amount, then at a larger amount. But one of them is a PhD, a top psychiatrist out of New York, and she said that she didn't think that this was really good for the brain, that it can do more harm than good. And some people do, as you know. You know, they get long-term paranoia afterwards.
So ayahuasca is a lot stronger. It's a lot stronger medicine. The dosage is a lot higher for one thing. It lasts for hours and hours, pretty much all night. So this is going to last 15 minutes or so. But the reason why I would say that it could be dangerous psychologically is for people who are trying to use it to shortcut the work.
Yeah.
You know, we have a saying in my house, and it's just do the work. And it essentially means, you know, you got to do all the hard stuff in life in order to reap the rewards of the good stuff. And it's no different with some sort of experience like this. If you haven't been, you know, meditating, if you haven't been learning, you know, reading some scriptures, or, you know, learning doctrine, or just exploring your own values and beliefs and spirituality, if it's something that you're just using to shortcut, then what it will give you a glimpse of is something that can be frightening for people who haven't glimpsed it on their own already without the use of any sort of substance.
Yeah. Mike Tyson did it and talked about it on the Joe Rogan podcast about a year ago.
Oh, yeah. He's great.
Yeah. No, and had an amazing transformation. You know, he had an amazing transformation that has lasted, a while now. And so it makes you want to question, like, is this a good thing? Can it be a good thing? And I think, like you said, though, you can't just do it and then just expect, you know, the universe to do all the heavy lifting and do all the work for you, you know, because
yeah,
in the words of Tom.
Educated.
Yeah. In the words of Tom Petty, there ain't no easy way out, you know, so you have to do the work.
Not, you know, and the other thing I like to remind people of, too, is that the founder of AA came up with the idea for AA after I think it was LSD. I don't want to misspeak, but I think it was some sort of, I know it was a, you know,
some sort of
trip of some kind, but,
yeah.
Really became to understand that we, you know, we're all one, and we're all connected to this higher power that is out for the greater good. And he wanted to share that with people. And so something like AA is a great tangible example of the work. You know, if you have some sort of addiction or some sort of problem, you know, you still have to go through the steps in life. Nobody's going to do that for you. But then, you know, there are these gifts that are sprinkled in throughout nature, plant, whether it be a plant medicine like ayahuasca or an animal medicine like Bufo. And you can use those to reaffirm what I like to say, reaffirm guesses that you already had, you know?
Right.
So when I do a long meditation, I'll get to a point in my meditation where I feel the same feeling that I would feel at a Bufo ceremony. However, I feel it for a blip. And the Bufo ceremony of feeling it for 20 prolonged minutes is something that makes me want to delve deeper in my worldly practices.
Right.
To want to give more to my children, give more to my neighbor, at the same time, give more to myself. And for me, that only has a positive benefit. And when it's used that way, I believe it can really help a lot of people who are struggling to reaffirm their purpose in life, or struggling to reaffirm the practices that they already do. It makes a tremendous amount easier.
Well, so you recently did it, and they describe it in Forbes magazine as a rocket ship ride to the center of the cosmos. Okay. Did you feel that? Did you go deep into the cosmos, Autumn?
For sure I did. You know, and I'm somebody who is a deep, deep skeptic with all of my spiritual beliefs. A lot of my education just comes from the very fact that I want to make sure that, you know, I'm not believing in some woo-woo silliness that somebody else, you know, has just about it. And so for me, with the Bufo ceremony, it was a gift for my 40th birthday. And I definitely felt like I was connected with the cosmos, as it were. You know, I felt as though everything that I had been leaning towards, you know, all those feelings, you know, when you just know something in your gut, I felt like all of those feelings were confirmed for me in a way that is indisputable. You know, you could call it a crutch, or you could say that it's something that, you know, it's just making you hallucinate and therefore, you know, it's not real. But the thing is, it vibrated with, it attached to values that were already instilled in me, both through my own life experience and through my education and my self-awareness. And so that is something that was very deeply important to me, because it's like, you know, the universe coming down and giving you a pat on the back and being like, you know what, you're doing it, just keep doing it, and you're going to keep being rewarded for it. And that's what I would explain it as. But it you know, again, it would take somebody having this firsthand knowledge of the experiences of life and spirituality first.
Was it scary? Did you hallucinate?
Oh, yeah. You know, I didn't experience hallucinations. I mean, you know, colors and lights and stuff like that. But you're still, you know, your human self is still present. But you can just tap into this greater, I call it the greater good, you know. It's just this greater cosmos, something that you're there and you can see very clearly, same as I experienced in a meditation. Okay. But you can see this distinct separation from your human and your spirit. And it's very clear that your spirit is in there, and your spirit is the one that is, you know, essentially taking a back seat and allowing us to have this human experience, while at the same time, it's rooting for us to reconnect with spirituality.
Wow.
And so it's a neat dichotomy, and it's a great gentle for my experience, you know. And I'm not knocking anybody, but I've never experimented with drugs of any kind. I'm not somebody who even uses, you know, like medicine for a headache or anything like that. So for me, it was something very deeply valuable that I did with reverence and with a deep intention, to better myself and to better my spiritual practice. It wasn't, you know, like a party drug.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk more about it. The music's going to start in a minute, and I know that we wanted to do a chant on forgiveness, the song of the soul. We don't have time though. I can look at the music's going to start any second, isn't it, Junior?
Yeah, about 5 seconds.
5 seconds, okay.
That's fine.
Song of the soul. We'll have to do it next time.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, my God. Love you, sister. That's why we're such good friends. I mean, this girl, how could you not love her, right? Oh, my gosh. Autumn, I'll talk to you soon. We'll have to chat on the sidelines.
Yep.
Everyone, check out her website, anviltraditionalhealing.com, or email her at meditatewithautumn@gmail.com. All right, everyone, it is Monday. Get out there today and have a fantastic week. Remember, you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life.